The weekend attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil refinery. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for us here in South Africa. The AA, that's the Automobile Association, was saying earlier today that we could have expected somewhere around a 20 cents a litre decrease in the price of petrol, given the rand-dollar exchange rate before Saturday and the global price of crude oil. But then the equation was changed by this attack, which took out half of Saudi's oil production, 5% of the world's oil production, saw the price of Brent crude spiking to above $70. As we heard in Eyewitness News, it has come back now a bit into the mid-60s. We talked to Michael Stevens, research fellow for Middle East Studies and head of RUSI, that's the Royal United Services Institute in Qatar. Michael, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Who did it? The Houthis say we did it. The Americans say there is plentiful evidence and have shared satellite imagery with journalists and others showing that the direction of the impact proves that the missiles could not have come from Yemen and that they came from the Gulf and that Iran is to blame. Iran says us, not us. So where do we go?
Well, there's certainly a lot of fingers being pointed in all directions, but it does seem to me that there's increasing evidence that points to an Iranian backing of these attacks, whether it was exactly done by Iranians themselves or Iranian allies or Iranian proxies is another matter. I think it's absolutely true that these attacks did not come from Yemen. They've come from somewhere north and east of Saudi Arabia, and that most likely means they've come from Iran. Certainly the Americans would have been able to track the progress of these missiles as they were launched, and they will have more information which they may or may not release depending on whether they think it is appropriate to do so. But I think it looks increasingly like the Iranians are at least behind it, if not responsible directly.
What does that do to the temperature in the region? Donald Trump on Twitter, locked and loaded?
Yeah, I mean, it's put it up to gas mark 10, really. It's not good. There's no doubt in my mind this is a very, very serious escalation. This has global impact. You were mentioning about oil prices. It's not just about oil prices. It's going to be about security in the region. The Americans are deploying more and more troops in the area. And I don't think this really bodes well for security for many, many months ahead. I think that there are two things which are very, very obvious here. Saudi Arabia looks incredibly weak, and it's going to need more support. Whether the Americans want to give that support is another matter. I find it very interesting that Donald Trump tweeted this morning that the U.S. doesn't really get much oil from the Middle East anymore, which I think is a tacit way of saying we're not that interested in the region, but we'll come and help nonetheless. And I think that is really a very negative sign, because what it's going to do is escalate tension between Saudi Arabia and Iran even further than it already is. And that doesn't head anywhere good, I'm afraid to say.
Okay, so probably almost certainly didn't come from Yemen, the Houthi rebel movement might have. Then why would they move into Iranian territory to fire the missiles? I'm saying that as a kind of preliminary to asking whether solving the conflict in Yemen, if Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states backing the aerial assaults on very large parts of Yemen, reducing those parts to penury and hunger, if that were resolved, would that in any way significantly reduce these kinds of tensions?
I mean, given I said that everything is on gas mark 10, I think solving Yemen would maybe put it on gas mark 8. I think it certainly doesn't solve many of the key problems that exist in the region between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and also between the United States and Iran. I think that one of the biggest drivers of this problem is not really Yemen, and I completely agree with you that the Yemen war is a catastrophe, and the sooner it ends, the better. But it's actually about the breakdown of the agreement signed by the Americans and the Iranians over their nuclear weapons and nuclear development program, which the Trump administration has effectively thrown in the bin. I think that's what's causing a lot of the tension, and the Iranians are looking at ways to hit back. What I think is very interesting about the attacks that you've seen in Saudi Arabia recently is that they've not been against civilian infrastructure. They've been against economic infrastructure, against critical national infrastructure. I think what the Iranians are trying to do is say, okay, you want to punish us economically, we're going to punish your friends economically. This is how this is going to work. The more you squeeze us, the more we're going to squeeze your friends. And let's see how long you've got an appetite to play this game. And I think the Iranians have got a strategy in place that really looks to escalate this and can keep going for quite some time yet.
And America's response, you suspect, might be disengagement with some assistance. I mean, you know, Trump last week fired John Bolton, who was the most hawkish member of his staff when it came to taking action against Iran. And one's never quite sure why Donald Trump does what Donald Trump does. But the man most arguing for some kind of, I don't know, perhaps even military involvement in Iran is gone.
Yes, and I think it's very interesting, actually, that even when John Bolton was national security advisor, Trump had a chance to look at a military option when a U.S. drone was shot down by the Iranians, and he didn't take it. Now, with Bolton out the way, there's really nobody pushing for a military option. And we all know that Trump is not really very keen on getting into wars in the Middle East. It's not good for a re-election campaign. His base doesn't want it. But at the same time, you've obviously got pressures on allies. Saudi Arabia, as we all know, is very close to the Trump White House and very close to Jared Kushner. They will have to make some sort of declaration. They will have to back them up in some way. But clearly, the Trump administration doesn't want to get into some sort of six-year-long war or some escalation that it can't control with the Iranians. And I think Iran knows that. And I think that's why Iran is testing the waters, because it can get away with quite a lot without pushing a U.S. response. But clearly, I think the next 24 hours are critical. The U.S. will be looking at the pros and cons of some sort of military retaliation. Whether they choose to do that or not is obviously up to them, but I think if they do it, it will be very limited and very controlled. I don't think they'd be looking for some sort of all-out war, but look, here's the problem. Everybody, you know, is waiting on Trump to make a decision. As you say, we don't really know what he's thinking one day to the next. We're sort of glued to his Twitter account, aren't we? And that's never a good place to be when you've got an insecure part of the region like the Middle East.
And Saudi doesn't have the capacity to offer a military response itself?
No, I don't think so. In fact, actually, what this attack proves is that the Saudis have spent billions of dollars over the last 20 years on air defenses, on a very, very advanced fleet of attack aircraft, and modernizing their military. And they've not been able to protect their critical national infrastructure. If it is the case that these were cruise missiles and a fleet of drones which attacked their most critical and important oil processing facility, then it really doesn't look very good for Saudi Arabia at all. We switch back to Yemen. They've been in Yemen for 4.5 years. They're not getting anywhere in that war. In fact, they're just making the situation worse. My view is that I think Riyadh looks extremely weak, and that if there is any big response going to come, it will have to be the U.S. that leads it, because certainly the countries in the region, maybe with the exception of the UAE, are not able to respond to Iran.
Michael Stevens, thank you. Research Fellow for Middle East Studies and head of RUSI in Qatar, RUSI being the Royal United Services Institute.